Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, check us out. Chuck D, Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DOC, the Diggy Diggy motherfucking God.
Yo, what's up? This is your boy, Z-Man.
What up, dog? This is Keisha.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
It's your boy, DJ Paul KOL from 36 Block.
Young Dizzy Bone.
Vice Warp.
It's your man, Mastermind of Hellraiser.
Yo, this is DJ Ready Red.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross, and you're listening to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
Now, real niggas do real things, and I hang with the real. So if you fuck with my family, you fuck with me. Hey, UGS for life.
For all them fuck boys disrespecting the team. Flipping snippets from the show and they saluting the name. The underground society, real talk on the scene. Y'all gon' fuck around, be left white chalked on the scene. It's UGS for life for you busters that don't know. I'm down with Praise and Mac J, the Murder Master Music Show. Archives of legends with questions you wanna know. That's why them whole shows be slick listening on the low. Using episodes for they shows with no recognition. More than suspicion. And you can hear Prayer's voice if you listen. Disrespect, I'm ripping. Bitch, I'm flipping. Kill their credentials whenever their name get mentioned. Oh, Pittsburgh Patrick, let go teach them some manners. Grab the ball bat and show up at they door in bandanas. For screaming real hip-hop and supporting them swag. Show up at their club for breakfast, y'all are back. Take aim at the lane, put his career in the casket. I come to kill a Mac J, make them pay for their actions. They can't pay them, smashing in an orderly fashion. With no permission, I'm asking them.
Mash it and attack it.
Turning taxing for every question that's got me asking. You can steal from the real, but yet you still can't outlast them. UGS for life, that's steel to plastic. Got that iron in my blood, burn your soul like acid.
You know? You better ask, nigga. UGS for life. Where the real at? Punk ass niggas. www.ugsforlife.com. Where the real is at?
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This episode 366. The Murder Master Music Show. What's up, Mac J?
So with a prayer.
Yeah, man. I'm going to stay with you guys as long as possible, man. I got a storm about 20, 30 minutes away, man. It's coming. It's got like a history of tornadoes and stuff like that. I've been watching it. I'm one of them dudes, man. I'm paranoid about that shit coming out of the sky. So
he like Bill Paxton. Rest in peace, Bill Paxton and Twisted. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Real talk. Bill Paxton.
Storm chaser.
Yeah, that shit was crazy, man. But let's bring on the homie Pittsburgh Patrick. You know what I'm saying? He helped us book this show tonight, and then we're going to bring on OG Ron C. himself. Pittsburgh Patrick, man, what's up, brother? How you doing?
I'm good, man.
Man, I want to thank you for doing this, man. Man, why don't you introduce our guest? I think we got him on the line.
Man. You know, really need an introduction, but I'll give him one, man. OG Ron C is one of the Swisher House pioneers, man, back in the day with the, the Bay Houston movement that was going on. Man, OG Ron C is, to me, the Chopped and Screwed movement. I really only ever fucked with DJ Screw. OG Ron C, he right up there with Screw. He the only other Screw DJ I fuck with. So this is a huge show for me, man. OG Ron C is a legend, man.
OG Ron C,
man, appreciate
you. How you doing, Ron? Man,
I'm great, man.
Huge honor.
I'm great. How you guys doing? I'm great. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, that's perfect, man. Thanks a lot for doing this, Ron C.
Thank y'all
for having
me.
Real talk, man. You know what I'm saying? You're a part of such a huge culture in hip-hop, you know what I'm saying, which Houston is a collective whole. I mean, so many great things have come out of that city first. Most recently, a man by the name of K. Reno dropped 7 albums on one day, which hasn't been done in any genre of music, period. Man, what can you say a little bit about the wizard, K. Reno?
Yeah, man, well, you know, this is what I would say. You know, the H-Town, you know, we've been big on freestyling, right? So if you know freestyling, that's just doing it right there on the spot. You know, that's what we came up on, man. You know, we first generation rap too around here. So, you know, we've been doing it since, you know, it was to be done, and on TV, as we knew it was could be done, right? So freestyling became a thing. So I'm not surprised to see an OG like K. Reno, when he did drop 7 albums, that he could drop them in one day, because, man, if you've ever heard K. Reno rap, period, then you know the man's message is strong already, and, like, you know his arsenal. He got that arsenal. So for him dropping 7 albums, that probably was nothing. He probably got another 30 more right now ready to go. He probably could do that. Man, I would bet you that man could do that every day a week for at least 3 weeks, 4 or 5 weeks, man. That man could drop 7 albums a week of every month. I'm pretty sure, man, because that man, he got, you know, like I said, you know, freestyling and doing, you know, writing lyrics has never been this what we did. Just like Lil Flip, the freestyle king. Like, these guys, man, they cash out songs, they write songs, and they don't even write songs. Like I said, they just do them right there. Bam, ESG, just do them. And then you look up, man, you got 1,000 songs that's all jamming.
Yeah, hell yeah. I listened to the 7 albums, and I didn't hear anything whack on it. Like you said, high lyrical content, dope stories, concepts. I mean, the total package. You know what I'm saying? But Houston, man, K. Reno's one aspect of Houston, but there's so many other legends. What defines your city and makes your city so great with talent, man?
Well, man, I guess the denial door. You know what I'm saying? The denial door. And what I mean by that is, you know, just the fact of just being denied. And then that mentality being instilled in us from just the 90s or from the first generation of rap, because, you know, there's never been no eye out looking for us. We've always been, you know, labeled as country bammers, you know, because the way we talk, our slang is not like everybody. And then with that being, you know, with those doors already, we know that they're not open, it just opened up to the independence, you know, the strong independent movement, which, you know, kicked off by, you know, people like Rap-A-Lot and James Prince, you know, that set the stage for independency in Texas. Then, you know, with Suave House and Jam Down and, you know, Nemesis and, you know, just from the top to the bottom of Texas. And then when people started realizing, then the artists started realizing that, you know, the independent way here in our this Southwest region, which was, we call the A-Lot, which is Arkansas, Louisiana, Oklahoma, and Texas, when that became the way of making a lot of money for independent artists, then that became, you know, it became almost a double-edged sword in its own. It became a killer of our own self, too, because we could sell records in those 4 states and live just like Jay-Z and anybody else. We can get Bentleys and big cars and have big houses bigger than theirs and big land. So once we realized that, and, you know, James Prince came through and showed us stuff like that, 8 Ball and them showed us, you know, we can live like this. So, and then we came through and did it with the Swisher House. So, you know, the independency of just, that's what makes everybody want it more, even in Texas now, because now and then, everybody outside of Texas wants Texas, too, because of just the independency of they can come here and independency and make money, too, as independent artists, because it's just so big. And that's what makes the thrive of just everybody wanting to be artists. And we got talent be coming out of, and we got a lot of talent coming out of it, because it makes everybody see that, man, I can really push it without a label, really. And then you got your maybe your 2% or your 10% that want to go out and get a label deal. But everybody else see that, man, look, man, I can press up my CDs. I can go put it online. I can go do what the Swisher House did. See, we was unpresidential. For the Swisher House, what we did, that was really unpresidential what we did. Like, nobody wasn't making money off of mixtapes. Mixtapes wasn't done to make money off of. They were done for promotional use. People was using them for promotion. DJs were using them to make their names bigger, to get artists out to a different, you know, to the streets. So nobody was making money. So when me and Michael Watts came through, and, you know, and DJ Screw, we all, you know, when we started making money, that just changed the whole game of, man, I want to be an independent artist, because these guys got everything I see on TV, and they not on TV. So, you know,
that's real talk. You know what I'm saying? You mentioned, you know, rap a lot and stuff, and you know, we've had DJ Ready Red on the show several times. He's from Trenton, New Jersey, but of course he came down to Houston and helped pioneer, you know what I'm saying, the sound down there. What was the atmosphere like, you know what I'm saying, during that era, man? Were you, were you ever, like, kicking it with them guys and just seeing how they were moving and what they were doing in down in H-Town?
Hell yeah, as a young buck, man, you know, I was around as a young guy. I'm from Fifth Ward, so you know that's the home of Rap-A-Lot. You know I'm from Fifth Ward, so you know as a young cat, with you know running them streets as a young cat, even before I sold mixtapes as a young cat, and just being a DJ doing little teen parties and stuff. You know, as a young cat, to seeing all them guys, even some of my classmates had record deals. You know, the Fifth Ward boys, them was my classmates, so they had record deals when we was in high school, when we coming out of high school and middle school. These guys had record deals already when they 16 and 15. So, you know, just seeing, just Rap-A-Lot, just really get in and set. It was, you know, just watching Jay Prince do. Man, just watching Jay Prince. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry. One second. Hold on. I'm sorry about that, man. One second. Something going on. Hey, put that. Hey, yeah, sorry about that, man. Yeah, I'm sorry about that, y'all. I'm sorry. But like I was explaining to you, but just Rap-A-Lot came in and just, you know, when Jay did the things that he did to just set, you know, everything with the, with the tone, it just opened up everything, man. You know what I'm saying? For us, you know, we watched, like I said, we watched a lot of our peers. We young guys. You know what I'm saying? We young too, and I'm young. I'm throwing teen parties, so just seeing them guys come and do it, it set the bar of everything of how it should be done, if that makes sense, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely, man. Them guys, they kicked it off, you know what I'm saying, not just for Houston, but along with Skywalker Records out of Miami, they kicked it off for the South, period. So, you know what I'm saying, there's so much influence right there, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Man, that's dope as hell. But your history, you know what I'm saying, your history goes back to the 80s as well, man. When did you first, you know what I'm saying, start getting involved with DJing and doing, you know what I'm saying, the music?
Well, yeah, man, I'm glad you asked me that, because I think sometimes, well, it's not no more. When I first started, kind of people used to get me mixed up with Ron C, the rapper out of Dallas. And so when I, you know, what made me...
The Nemesis, right?
Right, with the Nemesis guy, you know, but... What made me kind of separate from him was, you know, the fact that I was a DJ, he's a rapper. Then, you know, he got into some trouble, so, you know, he kind of got locked up. And just me as a DJ, you know, everybody used to get that, you know, just used to get that mixed up. And just as, you know, going back to think about, you know, with just me, man, what made me want to DJ was, you know, I used to be in a rap group, and we went to make the DJ, you know, we went to make the demo, and man, we didn't have no music because we thought that the demos was, you know, was the music was here at the studio, was at the studio. So, you know, we just was beatboxing, man, and doing what we saw on TV, you know, and we just decided to record and got to the studio, and the guy asked where the music was, and he pulled out a drum machine. To make a long story short, he pulled out a drum machine, showed me how to make a simple beat. I fell in love with making the beats, wanted to be the man in the back, so I started making beats. My homeboy was already a DJ for this dude named, I don't know if you probably, if you guys rap history, you know what I'm saying, it's probably this guy, he was one of the first guys Molly Mall had signed to Cold Chillin' Records. His name was De Leon. And my homeboy was the guy's DJ. Stickerbush.
Right.
And he was the one that taught me. He used to DJ, and I used to go to his house because he had a keyboard, and I used to make the beats on his keyboard, and he used to DJ, scratch to my stuff, man. And one day he just called me over and said, man, I got some tricks, man. He started DJing with his feet. And, man, I just, I was like, man, forget this beat make stuff. I want to DJ. So I started learning how to DJ and want to learn how to scratch, man, and that. And that's where it was, man. I would call a radio dude one day and just ask him about how to get records, get into a record pool, and that was it. That was it after that. Just one thing led to another, then went to college, came back, met Michael Watts, 94, and Michael Watts, I'm talking to him at the radio, where is that? Michael Watts telling me the streets, where is that? So, he was starting to do these slowed-down tapes. Before they was called Swish Hours, they was just called Swisher Mixes. I started hustling in my hood outside in Fifth Ward. Nobody didn't really want to buy them, so I had to give them away. Then he started letting me talk on the tapes, and shit, man, I started shouting out my hood. I just came from college, and 4 hours away, I started shouting out the little city and the college, and, man, it started spreading up there in East Texas.
Yeah.
And then East Texas was the first one to get on it, and then we stayed on it, bro. It was just... That's how OG right. Ron C. If it wasn't for Michael Watts putting me in there, I don't know what I'd be doing, man. I'd still probably be doing some parties, something. I don't know.
Right. Those fuck actors was the shit, too, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
You flipped the script on them with them shit.
Yeah, that was Watts, man. I thank Watts for that, man, because he just let me run with that, man. He figured out, man, okay, man, the ladies like this nigga talking on the tapes, man. I'm finna run with it. He just let me run with it, man. From Fuck Action, I think the first one I talked on was probably like 10, but he had already started doing them like 5 or 6, man. And it was from now on, man. It was just he just let me run with it, man. And he turned it over to me, and I started doing them right about 16 was my first one I did, and then I think after that he probably done one more after that. And ever since then, that was killer, man. The dudes never talked about Fuck Action when we first was doing them, man. The niggas stayed away from Fuck Action.
Hell yeah, because, you know what I'm saying, you can put them motherfuckers on, the bitches ain't finna be mad if you listen to some Chopped, if you got the Fuck Actions, you know what I'm saying, because most of the time, if it's just your hard shit, if a female ain't into it, they gonna be like, man, you know what I'm saying, like, they ain't gonna be able to get in the groove of it, but then y'all flip the script with the R&B jams that motherfuckers was jamming anyway, and that was what was intriguing by. Girl, flip your CD book and see one of them. They gonna put it in just because of the name. Fuck Action.
That Fuck Action shit is crazy, man. I be having kids coming up to me now, maybe 7, 8, 9 years old, man. My mama said I was made off of you.
Yeah, I was about to say that shit. Y'all creating babies off of Fuck Action, man.
That's crazy. That's great. OG Ron C, I wanted to ask you, man, back in, I think it was, 2004, 2005, the explosion of Houston hip-hop hit, man. You were right in the middle of all that. Can you tell me what it was like once the mainstream shed the light on Houston as a whole city, man? What was that like?
Man, honestly, man, that shit was, it was crazy, and it felt good because, when 2004 it came, that had already made it, it had made it 9 years for me doing it, made it 10 years for Watts doing it. So, we had a fan, we know we had a street fan base, and it just felt so good to know that the world was on it, and then to know that when we got there that our fans from the streets was going to help us stay there, though. That's what the good part was about it, though. Because, when we got there, we had something that most people didn't have at that time. Now they're coming in, with fans. That's the thing to do. But most of the time, you already knew labels that had to go through artist development and everything, to develop an artist that they just thought was good. So, it felt real good to already come in and have fans, and then when we put out those records, the fans really showed that they really really liked us, and then, you know, other new fans came along too. Man, it was a great feeling, man. It was. You know, that was a Super Bowl. We was having a good Super Bowl, good championship stuff going on that them years too. So, yeah.
Hell yeah, man. What I thought was good about it was, I mean, everybody knew Scarface and UGK at the time, you know what I mean? But once that exploded on a national level, people started to do some digging and see how much dope music was in Texas. You know,
yeah.
Already so much material out there. And at that time, I mean, the world saw somebody like Zero, and they listened to him, and look now. I mean, Zero is still one of the best rappers in the game. You know, it's real good for the scene to, you know, get some of those guys, you know, get the spotlight on them. And to this day, a lot of them are still doing great things, man. You know what I mean? And people got to see how much talent is really in just in Texas, man.
And we got so much new talent too. So just imagine with all the old talent that we got that's still going, like the Zero, Slim Thug, Pow Wow. You know, they still going Mike Jones. They still going Lil back in the mix. Got, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, with all them that had, you know, sold millions of records, and now we got these new guys. They coming through. These guys are selling millions of records with the T Wayne's and the Cheddar the Connects. June James producing Key to the Street. You know what I'm saying? We got, you know, Solange going with her album. You know, we always had Queen B. You know, we got a lot of stuff going. Even with, you know, it's some rock and roll stuff coming out of here too that's real heavy. You know what I'm saying? That people don't even know about. But, you know, I'm a rock fan, so I keep up with a lot of stuff. But yeah, we got rock and roll groups doing stuff, man. We got, you know, they really trying to make, it's always been all over the news lately, too. They're really just trying to make Houston, you know, this Hollywood thing with Houston. You know, they really trying to, they pushing the stuff. You know what I'm saying? That, you know, they starting to shoot a lot of more stuff here in Houston. And just, you know, they really trying to make Houston entertainment hub. So, you know, then the Super Bowl stuff did very well. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you
right,
know,
y'all be having all-star games and all that type of shit out there.
Right.
In Houston, right?
So, yeah, so now it's only, you know, even I'm working closely with the mayor now even to, you know, make sure that, you know, like even with the hip-hop community, because the mayor is a good friend of mine, so he was my first attorney, actually. So I'm working with him now because he's working with the entertainment, you know, he's put together this big entertainment committee to make sure that we get a lot of, you know, we get a lot of entertainment stuff, make sure that we get, you know, new entertainment venues and more venues, concert venues and, you know, bigger, you know, just a lot of stuff he's doing on his part, too, to help make sure that Houston is going to get his recognition. And I'm just, man, like, I'm fighting with my program director at the radio station right now because my show was on the air for about 2.5 years. They took one. We got a new program director. Because he didn't know about, you know, the effects of chop and screw music and didn't understand it, he took my show off. First thing he did, you know what I'm saying, was take my show off. But it's all cool, though. I didn't sit and wait 23 months, and I just sent them something tonight about, you know, because, you know, chop and screw right now, it's going crazy right now, especially with this Moonlight thing, you know what I'm saying? Especially with doing the soundtrack to Moonlight, you know what I'm saying, the purple soundtrack
right.
to Moonlight. You know, that's, I'm just like, man, you can't, you know, chop and screw music, it's not going away, man. Much as y'all think it's going to go away, it's not going away.
Yeah, it ain't going nowhere, man. It's worldwide and it's forever embedded in the culture of hip-hop, period. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
If they talk about boom bap, if they talk about the crunk sound, if they talk about the chop and screw, that's a whole genre within the genre. You know what I'm saying? It can't go nowhere. Especially when y'all still out here representing it and still doing that shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and the kids still love it too.
It hits so hard that when you hear an album, like, I always think that, no matter what kind of hip hop it is, like, when I hear an album, I'm like, man, I need to hear this chopped and screwed. You know what I mean? So, I thought it was great that it, you know, it stuck like that because a lot of things just came and went, but screw music, but, you know.
Same thing about it with me. Like, a lot of times, like, everybody don't get it, you know what I'm saying? But one thing they do get is the music, man, the way it come off, man. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, Chopped and Screwed ain't for everybody. It ain't for every hip-hop head. But that don't mean it ain't hip-hop, man. That don't mean it ain't, you know what I'm saying, impactful. That ain't mean it ain't went around the world. And because it's cats in Africa chopping and screwing.
Man.
You know what I'm saying? Listening
Trust
to what,
me, man.
And it
I
all
got,
started from what y'all was doing, you know?
Man, I get emails. I get calls. I even got one of the Chop Stars. He's in Moscow. He's one of the Chop Stars. He's actually in Moscow, for real. So, you know, I have Chop Stars actually literally now, I can say worldwide, you know, from
right.
all the way from California to, you know, East Coast to the West Coast to the Midwest. You know, we got them now. And, you know, keeping it, and it's all about keeping DJ Screw's legacy alive, man. That's what, you know, it was built for. You know what I'm saying? The Chop Stars were built for, to keep the legacy of Screw alive. So even when I'm dead and gone and people don't want to hear Ron C no more, then they'll want to hear Candlestick. When they don't want to hear Candlestick no more, they'll want to hear Slim K. When they don't want to hear Slim K, they'll want to hear
right.
Holly Grove. When they don't hear Holly Grove, they, you know what I'm saying, it'll trickle down and everybody get their moments, and at the same time, it'll still keep the brand of Chopping Screw music alive, you know?
Right.
So,
that's what I was just going to ask you next. I was going to ask you, like when you go out of town and you see other cats that's doing similar things, they might not be as well known, but you can see the passion. Like, I got a homeboy named Chris Brown, man. He be on Facebook, too, and that's all he do is Chopped and Screwed. You know what I'm saying? And just to watch a young cat like him stay dedicated. And a lot of people give him shit sometimes about it, but he stay true to his passion. He call it his, that's his passion. He do it for his
man.
Passion. You know what I'm saying?
We already fought the battle. So encourage him to keep going because we fought the battle. We fought the North Side,
right.
South Side battle. You know what I'm saying? We from the North Side, dog. We don't know DJ Screw. We don't know DJ Screw. You know what I'm saying? It's like, not like that.
Right.
We don't know DJ Screw like that. You know what I'm saying? We ain't got no conversation with this man, the phone number, and this man phone, none of that. You know what I'm saying? Before this man died. Nah, it was still, when this man died, it was just trickling down the North Side, South Side beef. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's like that now. When I go and see other people that's doing, you know, Chopping and Screw music, I don't get mad, and I don't feel no type of way. What I feel like is, oh, okay, yeah, man, it's keeping it going. And it's something
mm-hmm.
they talk. It's just like rap, man. I tell my youngsters all the time, it's just like rap. When I'm talking to younger folks, I tell them about rap. Man, rap wasn't supposed to be here. They tried to ban rap, my nigga. They walked on the white, on the Capitol steps to ban rap. Literally, no music genre has ever been tried to be banned. They ain't try to ban
right.
rock and roll. They ain't try to ban R&B, blue, nothing. They ain't try to ban that shit. Nigga, they tried to ban our shit. You know what I'm saying?
Remember the Grammys?
Yeah.
They wouldn't even air the award for best rap song. They wouldn't even air that on TV.
Yeah, remember that
yeah,
wasn't
but,
even mad.
But at the same time, for a long time, it wasn't even no category for it anyway.
Yeah,
before
yeah.
They
right,
even
yeah, there was no category
they
for it.
Were shooting
on right.
Yeah.
Hey,
got to sell millions of records.
Come on,
man.
Hey, you
know what I'm saying? This is Cedric from France. Yeah, hi, Ron Gironzi.
We got Sam from France.
Yeah, what's up, Scotty?
What up, Sam?
Yeah. Can you tell us about the Houston Pioneers of the early Southern music? Where they are before?
I can barely hear you, y'all.
About the Houston Pioneers of the early Southern music, where they are before DJ Screw, like DJ Michael Price, rest in peace, and DJ Darren Scott. Can you tell us about them of the DJs before DJ Screw?
So okay, so if I'm understanding, he somebody can help me out because I can barely hear him. He's asking me about he said something about DJ Screw comparing. I think was he comparing my style to DJ Screw style?
Yeah, hey, Sin, I tell you what, inbox me the question so I can ask him for you.
Yeah.
I couldn't make out what you were saying either.
Yeah, I could.
My apology about that, bro.
It's cool. Yeah. Sometimes he's calling from France, man, and sometimes his connection ain't that great, and you know, on top of his accent, you know what I'm saying? So sometimes it's hard to hear him, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah, the accent went through. It was the, I just couldn't even hear. So we have other people on the line that want to ask some questions. That's cool. I like that.
I'm not sure who all we got. I know Exit
Only.
He's a big fan of yours, man. I'll ask you a question here, man.
I definitely want to know
what's going on with OG Ron C.
Here's Exit Only right here, man.
OG Ron C.
What's going down?
What's going on with maintaining Big Bro? I'm going to let you see if you could think back. You was in Jackson, Mississippi. I was with Charlie Braxton. I came over to the hotel and kicked it with you. You left your phone and your Jordans. I made sure you got them shits back.
Yeah, yeah. Word up. What's up, homie? What's your name again? Yeah.
What's up with you, OG Run, Exit Only? Homie, what's cracking?
What's up? Yeah, I remember. What's up, Doc? What's going on?
You know, it's all good.
How you doing, bro?
It's all good, fam, man. When Pittsburgh Pat told me he would try to get the show, I was like, man, I got to call in because I wanted to see if he could remember. I know you got one of them photographic memories, so I know you do.
I remember
that
shit, man.
And I ain't seen you since then, Big Bro. So, man, it's just good to hear from you. Good to hear what you're doing. Good to hear you still in it. I'm still grinding on this end. So, man, throughout the evolution of everything we done went through musically, for us to still be standing, that's grand, man. Yeah. And what you're doing is extraordinary. Keep pushing.
Man, thank you, man. Appreciate the kind words to your ex, man. Appreciate it.
You know it's all good, Big Bro.
Mr. Ron C, I wanted to ask you, man, what can you tell me about Braids and Fades, man?
Braids and Fades. That was, you know, that's that transitional north side, south side thing, you know what I'm saying? You know, that's what it was, Braids and Fades. South side was known to wear fades, and, you know, the north side, we was known to wear braids. And, you know, when ESG and Slim Thug got together, that's basically what it was. ESG had the fade, you know what I'm saying, because he's from the south side, Slim Thug had the braid. You know, and that's just, you know, they did. Yeah, that was great to name, you know, that was a great-ass album name, title, Braids and Fades. I mean, because that's what it really was. Braid up, homie, getting with the faded up, homie, and this is what we come up with right there. You know what I'm saying?
Hell yeah. I just wanted to ask you, man, you could just reflect on DJ Screw, on what impact he had on you and, you know, of course, the city. And I just want, I also want to know, like, what, how you feel about, like, for me, like, I'm from Pittsburgh. Now that Screw is gone, I look at you as the one that's carrying on the top of the legacy. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not alone. A lot of people think that. So if you could just reflect on DJ Screw for a little bit, and then maybe talk about what you're doing with Chop Not Flop.
But yeah, DJ Screw, man, you know, once I did get into, you know, DJ Screw, because I didn't listen to a lot of DJ Screw's records. You know, people around me, now how I came fond of DJ Screw was when I was in college. That was in 91, 92. That's, you know, because I met some Southside guys, because, you know, that's how I became fond of it. But didn't even start jamming it at that time. Came home, 93, started working for radio. Still wasn't, you know, jamming Screw. Met Michael Watts in 94 and started, you know, listening to, you know, Watts. Slow down. I know people, you know, talking about Screw, you know what I'm saying, the Screw tapes and this and that, but I never listened to them because I'm from the north side. So, really, we didn't really want to listen to the Screw tapes because they was always talking about the north side. They always dissing us, so we never wanted to listen to the tapes. I never listened to them. So, this one tape came out June 27th. That's the tape that I listened to on the B side, and that's the tape that got me and kind of won me over as a Screw fan, because of the B side of how he did "I Ain't Mad at You." And when he did that, and I just, you know, I was into scratching, and the way he scratched that record and what he doing to that record, you know, that was appealing to me. So I listened and studied that record and studied that, and then he came out with his album, 3 in the Morning, and the way it was put together was just, you know, those were my two Screw tapes that I listened to, June 27th and 3 in the Morning. Because, you know, DJ Screw wasn't chopping the screw on nobody's albums. You know, me and Watts, we once started that, you know, chopping the screw on albums. And we the one started the commercializing of that, you know. So DJ Screw wasn't doing that type of stuff, you know what I'm saying? He was doing, you know, more of the West Coast stuff, you know, SIBO stuff, and letting them guys freestyle, you know what I'm saying? And maybe put a, you know, couple of local Southside songs on there. And for the most part, it was just bashing. So for having, you know, I studied DJ Screw's, his style to be able to come up with my own style, because, you know, I'm with Michael Watts, and Watts was cold on them turntables too. Like, Watts was already, before he started chopping the screw on music, remind you that Watts was the killer of mixtapes, because he sold mixtapes at the flea market. He put hip-hop music over, he put the hottest R&B, he put that old-school R&B like Al Green over the hottest hip-hop tracks. So his mixtapes used to fly off the shelf. Michael Watts was already a heavy mixtape DJ in the street. So I started, you know, having between studying, you know, I'm with Watts every day. I get to see Watts style every day. I'm not listening to DJ Screw because, you know, it was just really unethical for us to be listening to DJ Screw because they talking about us.
Exactly. Like, you don't want to be hearing some shit with motherfuckers talking about you and
right.
shit.
Right. So every time, you know what I'm saying, we got to hear, I don't want to listen to this, man. They talking about, they ain't talking about nothing but Southside shit. Fuck the Northside. We going to shoot them niggas up, all that shit. You know what I'm saying? It was like,
right.
So
Right.
Which didn't have nothing to do with the music niggas, though. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But just because we was divorced, you know what I'm saying, at the North Side, we caught the hell too. So, man, I just didn't listen to Screw tapes like that. Like, I can't name no, you know, Screw got thousands of tapes. I can't name none of them, you know what I'm saying? So, my favorite too, I studied his style so I could get the, you know, the essence of how to, you know, just do my own thing and create my own thing between from him and Michael Watts. Like, the problem was with everybody, it was two problems that was going on. The problem was, and that's when I figured that I stepped in, that's how I became who, you know, Run C and everybody like my style. Okay, everybody was like, okay, DJ Screw, but, you know, sometimes Screw let the stuff play too long. Sometimes it get railroaded and it's kind of tacky, you know what I'm saying, up in there. Okay, then now you got Michael Watts. People complaining with Michael Watts was, oh, Michael Watts doesn't chop enough. He doesn't scratch enough. You know what I'm saying? So I went and filled that void, and I started scratching a lot, chopping a lot, and making sure it's way more neat. Not messing. If I mess up, shoot, just start
right.
Do it all over again, you know what I'm saying, or whatever.
Right, so basically, like, you was looking at what they was doing and then listening to what the people were saying and using it to create your own shit, try to be a better DJ. See, that's what DJs do. You know what they want to hear and shit.
Right, and that's how I came up with Chop Not Slop. Chop Not Slop had started as a joke first. It had started as a joke because now we got all these other DJs coming at us from Acting Bad to Beltway A to DJ Tyrone, all these guys on our side, the North Side, they coming at us. They coming at us because we Swisher House now. We taking over. They coming at us. You know what I'm saying? They ain't even worried about we fighting the South Side. Nobody didn't like them niggas. Nobody didn't care about not liking them niggas. They just didn't like us because we the first niggas to start doing it on the North Side. So now we're fighting our own. We fighting South Side and North Side niggas who's in the pen. You know what I'm saying? They doing the thing too. So, you know, they shit was real tacky too. They shit was tacky, mixing not the right song. So I started making fun of them guys and saying, man, and started just telling the world, listen, man, if y'all jamming that shit, man, that shit's some sloppy shit. We got this shit chopped up the right way over here. You know what I'm saying? Our shit chopped up, not slopped up. And it was just a joke that I'm laughing at them niggas. You know what I'm saying? Like, nigga, you niggas whacked them over. That shit chopped up. That shit ain't chopped up. That shit slopped up. You know what I'm saying? And then that just, it just stuck, man, it just stuck after I left the Swish House. That just became, you know, I started noticing how everybody started, you know, saying it a little bit. And then I started getting with the artists and making the artists say it. And then, shoot, probably around about 9 or 10, we met, you know, Drake. And, man, Drake started chopped up, and that was it.
Right. Y'all real influential, man. You know what I'm saying? The whole H-Time, you know what I'm saying? Like, from Gangsta Nip all the way to you, to, like you said, to the new youngins. You know what I'm saying?
Man, I'm trying to tell you, man, that Nip used to be serious, huh?
Hell yeah, still is. The shit he making now is still popping. That's what I was just about to ask you now. Like, what you got in the works now and what you got going on now, 2017?
Well, now what I'm doing now, you know, with the Chop Not Slot brand, I'm doing something that, you know, we should have done as a Swisher House, which was really just going on and take control with the world, with Chopper's group, and just owning it. And just now I'm teaching these record labels and independent artists, you know, how to make money through my channel, through my platform of Chopper's group, through my audience. It's a whole new audience where you can get money from now with streaming and everything. Take my fans and let my fans, you know what I'm saying, stream your music. You know, and now I'm going to use this to show the record labels that it's like, yeah, this is going to be a vital tool. So I'm going to retire. You know, I'm retiring this year, you know, anyway, you know, but at the end of this year, that's 30 years. This year is my 30-year anniversary. So,
wow.
I'm
looking
to
that, man.
Thanks, man. Yeah, man, I appreciate it, man. I'm planning on retiring, you know, it's in the good Lord's hands, but, you know, just with this brand with Chopped and Screwed, man, just the whole, you know, DJ Screw said, man, one day the whole world going to be screwed up, right? And think about that. Think about that, and then you'll know why OG Ron C is where he at, and you'll know really the method behind my madness. He said that, right? But the last time I checked, the whole world doesn't like rap music. So in order for the whole world to be chopped and screwed, you got to take it outside of rap, right?
Yeah. You sure make a lot of sense with it.
Yeah, so you know what I'm saying? That's what we at, man. We gonna fulfill that. We're gonna fulfill that, man. The whole world is gonna be chopped up, not slopped up. DJ Screwed out here. So it's not gonna be chopped screwed, it's gonna be chopped up, not slopped up. The whole world finna be chopped up, man. You know what I'm saying? And that's from all genres of music. We done everything now. We done touched just about every genre that is, from rock and roll, heavy metal, R&B to, you know, every, man, we done touched a lot of stuff. I done Swedish stuff. I done
you ever did bluegrass yet?
Man,
you know, they play the banjos and shit.
Yes, you can go, listen, if you want to hear one, go check out F Action. I'm going to tell you, be real talk. You go check out F Action 50. This 4 is all that, you know, is blues and, you know, a couple bluegrass.
Wow. Yeah, I'm going to have to check that joint out.
Yeah, we got rock and roll tape, man. We got volumes of rock and roll tapes. We got reggae tapes, Chopped and Screwed, man. Everything, yo. It's like, that's where it's at, man. And that's, you know, that's where, just expect to see it, man. It's not going nowhere, man. It's just only going to get bigger. Because, like I said, it's bigger than rap. It's bigger than just rap music and R&B music now. We're chopping and screwing everything, and those people are reaching out to us too to get it done. You know, I did Molly and what's the girl name? Molly and what's the group name? Molly and something. The dude and the girl, Molly and something. I did a single for them. You know, we did Lil Dragon.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, Chopping Screw, man, is just, like I said, and even with this, you know, even with this Moonlight stuff now, it's just, hey, man, that's it. 2017 and beyond, man, it's just going to go OG Runs in the Chop Star. We going to be the Amazon of Chopping Screw music. Whatever it is, Chopping Screw, you're going to, hey, oh, it's going to say the Chop Stars on it. OG Runs in Chop Stars. You're going to know if it don't say that, it's whack.
It's gonna be flopped up then. Yeah, you know I'm saying.
On 30 years, man, that's great. And I salute you. You know, you say you're retiring, and you're not just quitting. You're putting people in a position to carry it on, man. So that's what's up, man. I salute you and your contribution to hip hop. Just outstanding, man. We pride ourselves on having, you know, the archives of this show. We pride ourselves on having legends on, and you know what I mean? Like they've had Chuck D, DMC, you know, Jerry Heller. You know, there's been a lot of huge names in the archives, and it was important for me to get you in here. And
I got the question from the homeboy from France too. He inboxed it to me. He want to know, can you tell us about the Houston pioneers of the early slow sound music who were there before DJ Screw, like DJ Michael Prince and DJ Daryl Scott?
DJ Michael Prince. Okay, DJ Michael Prince.
No, you can say DJ Michael Price and DJ Michael Daryl Scott. Like, so I guess he asking about...
I know exactly what you want to know.
He said one of them was killed back in the day.
Okay, all right, so the Price guy, I think that was the guy that they said who taught Screw really how to do it. And that was his homeboy. That was really taught Screw how to do it. You know, if I'm correct, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, you know, you getting this now, you asking the North Side nigga about this now, you know what I'm saying?
Right, that's what I'm thinking about now, as I didn't just ask. I'm like, yeah, because
now you remember from a whole different side. Right there, yeah, during them days right there, you couldn't even go on the South Side if you was from the North Side. So, yeah, so now I do know a little bit about it. So if there's somebody out there that might can, you know, probably correct me, I ain't going to be too far from it. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I might not be dead on, but I'm going to just tell you, I think now that Price dude, I think that's the homeboy. Now, Daryl Scott, yes, Daryl Scott was doing it before, you know, and around the same time, Screw, you know what I'm saying? And then let's just go on, since we're talking about the pioneers of slow down music. DJ Screw was not the first DJ to slow down music and put out music slow down. The sound came from Florida. So they was the first ones to slow down music. You know what I'm saying? If you go back and check the history of anybody who's really from Florida around the Orlando area, you know, Tampa, Orlando area, they will tell you they had these tapes. They called them slow motions. And all they was just the song slowed down. There wasn't no chopping, screwing. Wasn't nobody talking on them. Wasn't nobody freestyling. Wasn't no bring back. Now, DJ Screw made that popular, made it cool by adding the chopping, the screwing, the bringing it back, you know what I'm saying, talking, the freestyling. That was his gumbo that he could just, his gumbo became the most popular gumbo.
Right,
with the Screw music. That's the reason why he called it, you know, DJ Screw music. You know what I'm saying? It was DJ Screw. It was a DJ Screw tape. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't even Screw music. Now you calling it Chopping Screw music. Yeah, it was because that's what it's called. But it wasn't called Chop. DJ Screw ain't called this stuff. This is Chopping Screw music. Now,
this is tape.
It was just my tape. And it slowed down. This is what I do. And so it became, he the one made it popular doing it, though, by what he was doing to his slowed down versions. Now, Jam Pony Express and them, they, you know, they had a few
out there too. But like I said, and then even DJs, if y'all I know for the DJs that's on the call, you know, that might know, even when you got to a DJ school, when you got to a Mantronix record, remember the part where it said Mantronix is the crew, and then it got to the part where it said Fear him. Mm-hmm. Right there, that part. Remember, every DJ used to slow that part down. Dear. Every DJ used to do that, right? DJ School came and made it popular. Now, Daryl Sky was selling mixtapes, too. He was the mixtape guy on the South Side, too. He had the Daryl Sky record store, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, so he was a good influence in DJ School's life for us, the South Side DJs, of course, because, you know, he was selling tapes. He was a mixtape DJ selling tapes like Michael Watts was on the North Side. You know what I'm saying? He was selling mixtapes. He's a South Side DJ selling the mixtapes. So, you know, I'm pretty sure that that's, you know, where Screw got some of his influence from. And, you know, I've heard, you know, things from all the way to Daryl Scott taught DJ Screw. You know what I'm saying? I've heard to Daryl Scott was the first one to do it. You know, now.
Right.
The thing is to get. We need to get Daryl Scott. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
For real, because I don't think I heard too many Daryl Scott stories about it. You know what I'm saying? I don't know, you know, if he just don't do interviews, and, you know, I don't know. But
right.
That would
and
be
see, our homeboy, Sam from France, he's like an encyclopedia of all the underground shit. That's why I told him to go ahead and inbox me that question, because he studied the music and he's not even from here. So like, the it just goes to show, man. You know what I'm saying? That this shit go deep, and a lot of people revere what y'all did and what y'all still doing. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, man.
we always gonna salute you, man.
Man, thank y'all, man. Screw stuff really go a long ways. It's really deep, man. So if y'all ever get a chance, man, I get a lot of my info, you know, and stuff from, you know, those guys who owe the original SUC, Kiki and ESG and Big Bub is his cousin that runs the store now still. So all these guys, they can tell you, and I've had to take, you know, I've taken the whole Nike staff from Oregon come down, you know, I've taken them for a whole tour and have to, you know, standing there and do a whole talk about DJ Screw legacy in the Screw shop. And then, you know, Bub and them didn't have to come in and, you know, finish it up and tell, you know, give them a little info that, you know, that I may not have known that I know
exactly.
Now. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, like, I'm real good with them guys. I'm real cool with them guys. I never had the South Side thing, though. Even when they was going through the North Side, I was still, because I worked in radio, y'all remember, you know, and I had to go. You know what I'm saying? So I had to go everywhere. And, you know, I really didn't catch a lot of the beef from the South Side. I was pretty much cool and kind of, you know, got along with everybody. So, you know, it was, you know, the DJ Screws, man, I'm glad he asked that story because, you know, he asked that question because, yeah, a lot of people, they need to really know, you know, what, you know, Screw did and how it came about, too. Yeah, you know, Scoop wasn't, no, he wasn't the first one. No, he did not create it. What he created was his type of music, which was called DJ Screw's music because of his tapes and the way he did it, the way he flowed for music. And that's the reason why I saw mine different, because I'm not DJ Screw. That's the reason why mine is chopped up, not slopped up. That's my rendition, slowed down music. So when my story is on, so
your
I
tapes.
Want it to be
over. Your tape's different than his tapes. You see what I'm saying?
That's right. My tapes are totally different from DJ Screw tape. But at the same time, when you're listening to my tapes, I keep it at a constantly tight flow because, you know, I want you to be in the essence and put you back in the essence of a DJ Screw tape. Keep you in that moment of what that moment DJ Screw tapes put you in. So that's the reason why I still scratch on my tapes, and I take these albums and I remix them and make them a full tape. And it's the transitions, though, it's a full live movie when I'm done with it. It's just not a song chopped up. It's like, no, they mixed up. They all the way mixed. Every last one of my projects, they all mixed.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like that's the reason why I still put pride in it to this day. and the same with the team. It's like we mix. It's like we're not gonna, you know, we set the precedent for this stuff, and now we're gonna live it out and make sure that, you know, it's done neatly. It's done, you know, to make smooth music, you know, look the best, and not people thinking that, oh, you got to be on drugs or you got to be on syrup, you got to be high to listen to the music. No, no, you don't. No, you don't.
Real shit.
No, yeah, you don't have to.
Ron, see, before we close up shop here, man, I do want to thank you a lot, man. This show means a lot to me, man. I really appreciate it. And shout out to your girl, Nick. Did you help put this together, man? So shout out to her.
Oh, yeah. She's awesome, man. That's the best. I have the best operations manager in the game, man. She's the best, man. I promise you, she's always on it. She get on my ass all the time. Got to be on time, OG. I'm like, you so right. Got that. I need that, though, man, because, you know, I've been doing it for, wilding out for years, man. I need that, though. So, I'm glad she made this happen. I'm glad, you know, this was different, too, man, because a lot of the times it's kind of basically, you know, some of the basic stuff that, you know, they ask all the same artists. So, you know, I really like it when we can get deep into really of what I got going on, so that, you know, we can really get into the culture deep like that, because, you know, it's...
Yeah, man, that's how we do it over here, man. We just sit and chop it up. What we also do is we like to do round tables too, man, where we get three or four, maybe five or six, up to about five or six people all on the line at the same time from all over the place in hip-hop. So, like, you might have Spice One, and you might have Skinny Pimp, you might have 8-Ball, or shit, we might even have you or something. Like, so if you ever interested in anything like that, man, we'll definitely keep you... Keep in mind when we do these round tables, man.
Please, man, call Nick. Let her know. Please keep me informed, man. Y'all have me on anytime. I don't care, man. We can talk. We ain't got to talk about Chopping Screw music either, man. You know what I'm saying? Y'all going to be surprised to see what I'm doing when I retire. I can't say what I'm doing right now because it might spook everybody, but it's
going to
be something.
Hey, Ron, not to cut you guys off. Ron, sorry, brother. Not to cut you guys off. I had to run for a minute. But before you go, Ron, I had a caller I wanted to bring out real quick, if that's cool with you. This the homie Chris Brown, man. Chris.
Hello.
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 Yo. Hello.
Hey, what up, Justin, man?
What's up with it, man?
What up, Prez, man? What up, Ron C?
Hey, what's up, G? What's going down?
Hey, man, as I was listening to your story, man, I got a few questions, if you don't mind me asking, man, because I live by this slowed up shit, man, honestly. And
yes, sir.
I really related to you when you were talking about the name as far as Screw and Chop Not Slop. And I want your take as far as how do you feel about using the name as a genre? For example, like I'm from Indianapolis, and I'm trying to keep Screw's name alive like everybody else, and I always pay homage. But sometimes if I describe, like, I go by Dragged and Chopped because DJ Black started that here. So it's kind of like when I'm trying to describe or introduce the music to someone, it's kind of hard to get them to understand what it is. If I'm saying Dragged and Chopped. Versus if I say it's Chopped and Screwed, then they're like, then I know. So what's your take on that as far as between using it as just a genre versus the culture and all that?
Well, this is, you know, my thing on it's the genre is going to be, you know, unfortunately, the genre is not going to be slowed down music. It's going to be Chopped and Screwed. DJ Screwed, we can't take that from him. He done it. He did it. I mean, you know, shit, be mad. I can be mad another day. Fuck it. I ain't tripping. But, you know, he did it. I would love for the genre to be, shit, mine. You would love for it to be yours. You know what I'm saying? But it's, I don't have no problem with it. You know, my advice is always, it will be, from a businessman to another businessman, it's always, your brand is what you make it. You know what I'm saying? So you have to, you know, listen, I worked hard to get the Chop Not Slop brand, as you see. You know what I'm saying? I went and got with motherfuckers, and I had to convince motherfuckers to let me do your shit. I had to convince a motherfucker to say Dragged and Chopped and really be able to represent Dragged and Chopped. You know what I'm saying? It's like motherfuckers have to understand, like, you know, they got to want to be a part of it, right? They have to be want to be proud to say, well, my shit is chopped up, not slopped up. So, right, so I had to get out there and just get with the artists, believe in the artists before they blew up. Shit, they, you know, and you get some that stay faithful and loyal to you. And remember, hey, man, that nigga dragged and chopped my shit when I was nobody. You know what I'm saying? And then every time I stopped, it stayed on me. So, you know, but here's my other take. Now, my other take on it is this. This is the reason why I created, you know, the Chop Stars, so, you know, we wouldn't, you know, have to, you know, confuse people, you know what I'm saying, because DJ Screw is not here. Sorry them guys didn't, that crew didn't take their, you know, that they didn't take Chop and Screw and make it something that, you know, DJ Big Baby, they couldn't do it. People didn't gravitate to it once DJ Screw died. You know what I'm saying? And their business and their PR game wasn't up as strong as mine. You know what I'm saying? Either. And like I said, I was I was on top of the music, G. You know what I'm saying? I did a lot of shit to get where I'm at. I was on top of the music. I went to DJ conferences. I stayed at the motherfuckers. I was at all the conferences passing out my shit. I was there, bro. I was out there in them streets for real. Like, you know what I'm saying?
So, I feel that, you know,
and that's the reason why, you know, like I said, and the only reason why, you know, you haven't seen me recruit new Chop Stars. I see people out there that's doing their thing. I know they doing their thing. And listen, and I know people hear me talk shit on my tapes, but remember, I've always done that. I'm going to go do that to the day I die. I'm going to always, when I get on that microphone, I'm going to always say I'm the best. I don't care who the best. As you should get on yours and say you the best. You know what I'm saying? Because you shouldn't care who's the best. You should say, I'm the best. I don't give a damn. I'm the best.
I feel that.
I don't give a damn who is the best. I don't care if Jay-Z the man. Shit, I'm the man. Nigga, in my own voice, if it's just in my house, nigga, my kids think I'm the man. Well, that's where we're going to grow it from then. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just saying, you know, that's just the way of branding your brand, period. But like I said, it was about, you know, the reason why I hadn't recruited any more Chop Stars. Yeah, I pay attention because I really have to see who's passionate. It wasn't never about growing, making a DJ click. It was about gathering all the people around the world who has the passion to keep DJ Screw's legacy alive.
How do you make that decision? Who has the passion?
Right, by watching people as like yourself, you know what I'm saying, grow. You know what I'm saying? I know it's frustrating to, you know, the people, oh, man, OG think he not, I'm overlooking them, you know what I'm saying? But how I get it is from the people. When I'm hearing people talk about Slim K, that's the reason why I recruited Slim K. When I hear people talking about Ryan Wolf or Mike G in their area, and then what attracts me is the people that's trying to put on for their area with the independent artists. It doesn't attract me if people trying to go and do what I'm doing. Like, I do that because I have relationships with these artists. I'm not just chopping up a future because I want to. I really have a relationship with these artists. So what intrigues me really, what catches my eye on a second level too is, yeah, you have the passion for DJ Screw legacy, but are you using that passion? Like, Screw, he broke independent records with this Chopped and Screwed music. I think everybody forget that, too. Like, he broke records. We broke records with Swisher House. We broke our own records, too, and we broke other artists' records. Remember, Lil Flip was the first one to be on Northside tape. You know what I'm saying? So I broke that barrier with the Southside, Northside. So those are things that catch my eye. If you're putting on other artists, your local artists that's in your area, you know, if you're putting them on, that's what catches OG eye. That's what I like. That's what it is with me. Those two things, your passion for DJ Screw's legacy, you know, and if you're putting on for your area, you're putting on for the artists that don't have a voice. That's what this is about. We're putting on for the artists that don't have a voice with this this platform that Screw made popular for us. Let's not forget that. You know, I'm sharing this
right.
as a you're a fellow DJ that's trying to keep the legacy going. Let's not forget
honestly, what you just described is really like my vision, man. I've got a few people. You know, I got my guy Silent K, and I got my guy B9 out here. That I've got some really dope ideas that I really can't say online because they're original ideas. And I've got like guys all over. I'm trying to emulate what like you guys did and what Swisher House and Screw did, but like on a worldwide level. So like I got my guy Old School Danny B out there in Vegas who bought a personal tape off of me, but he raps too. So it's like I got him in my vision. So basically, man, like when you hear DJ Low, man, if you like what you hear, man, just holler at me because I got some really big ideas and I do got a really big passion for this screwed up shit because I got my name off a chapter off of the Telephone Love tape when they was talking and they was talking about the batteries getting low, and so I'm like, essentially the slowed down sound comes from like you hear like a Walkman back in the day and the batteries start dying. It's kind of like, dude, your battery's getting low, man. That's one of the meanings. So it's really deep to me. So when you hear my name, man, just holler at me.
L-O-W, right?
Shout out to
L-O-W.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yo,
no,
Chris, thanks for calling in, bro.
Right on.
Yeah. I see you work, too. Keep working, my G. I see you work, too. I see you.
All right.
Ron.
Appreciate you, homie.
OG Ron C, you want to give us your social media or how to get a hold of you, and if you got anything coming out, any projects dropping or any shows you're doing or anything like that you want to promote real quick?
Yeah, man, you know, South by Southwest, man, I encourage everybody to find me at South by Southwest, man. Fuck with me, come give me your music, shit, just, you know, tell me whatever, you know what I'm saying? I'm a cool nigga, I don't know that Hollywood shit. I don't care where you see me, where you see my music, where you hear me, all that. I'm not with none of that Hollywood shit, man. So, yeah, just, you know, come up to a nigga, holler at me, man. I'm definitely, I don't care who you see with me. I'm with my crew though, but we some cool niggas. We ain't them niggas though. You know what I'm saying? We all cool niggas. You know what I'm saying? I only have a security nigga with me that keeps me on time and my schedule nigga that, you know, when you got to go. That's the only reason why I ain't got no, I ain't none of that. I ain't with none of that. Y'all holler at me, give me your music. I'm starting to, here March 3rd, well, this is in a couple of days. We're launching a new website where you're going to be able to, I'm going to start chopping and, you know, I'm going to chop and screw one song, like, of artists. So I'm encouraging every artist, no matter what you do, whatever you do, contact me, man, at OG Ron C. Or just go to the website. It'll probably be up. It should be ready to go March 1st. Chop a log. .com and you can get your song. I'm gonna chop it up. Me and the Chop Star are gonna chop it up for free. So, and we're gonna show you how to get the streaming revenue, and we're gonna do a revenue share with you. You know, if you're an artist, if you're listening, you know, if this is being recorded and being played at another later date, I hope so. Just get at me, man. At OG Ron C. On all the socials. That's me on all the socials, at OG Ron C. What else? Shit, man. And, you know, Nick's Heart 2. Nick _ Heart 2. That's my OMG. You know, if you get at her on a social, she'll handle everything. Chavez, you can get to all, you know, that's, man, I'm not hard to get to, I promise you. And I do, yeah, I have a social person, but I do, it comes to my phone too. So if it's about some business and about some, you know, about the business, I'm definitely looking at that. I appreciate all the love that people get, man. If I don't ever, you know, respond back to when y'all DMing me and saying thank you for this and that, man, I do. I just can't sit and spend a day, you know, time on my day just to respond back to everybody. But that's the reason why I say that on the tapes, though, man, because I hope people listen to the tapes, man, because I'll be very grateful, man. So just grateful to everybody, man. I appreciate all the fans. I appreciate y'all having me on, man. OG Ron C, at OG Ron C, at the Chop Stars, man. And you can find all the Chop Stars under my stuff, man. Candlestick, Holly Grove, Slim K. Shout out to everybody. Ryan Wolf, Blurry, What It Do, Baby Chino, Mike G. Man, I know I'm probably forgetting somebody. Rucker, DA out there, my soul. So I think I got everybody. You know what I'm saying? Said, and then Chop Star Jimmy and Chop Star Maxi. You know, and then just my whole team, man. I got, you know, thank you, man. I'm so grateful, man. Man, we'll be on this damn thing 2 hours, man. I'm full of shit, man. I swear. I'm not a DJ. I'm a businessman.
We'd love to have you on again, man, in the future. For real, man.
Yeah, definitely, man. Anytime, I promise you, man. Shoot it, whatever, man. I stop and give y'all this time anytime, man. You know what I'm saying? Anytime. I love to. You got callers, y'all want to set it up. We have a Q&A, whatever. People want to ask me questions. I know people got questions. People got, you know, they want to know, man. And I'm an open book. I give it to you. I ain't got nothing to hide from nobody. I ain't done nothing. So I ain't no need to hide. So whatever people want to know, man, I'm all with it. I ain't with no drama, so y'all miss me with that drama. Now, anything else, man? Thank y'all, man.
I can't thank you enough for coming on, man. I really appreciate it, and I will be in touch with you in the future, man. We'd love to have you back, man.
Yes, man. Please do. Please do. I'm asking you. I'm begging you. Keep me a part of it. Keep me a part of it. I got something going on. I ain't even talking about none of my artists I'm pushing, none of my producers I'm pushing. I ain't talking about my management company. I ain't talking about my Afresh company. I ain't talking about my merchandise company. I got, man, I'm telling you, I'm the Warren Buffett around this mug, man. I got companies with my, you know, DJ Candlestick got companies, Holly Grove got companies. We got photography companies. You know, I'm empowering my group, man, my team, man. That's what it's about me. So as much as I try to empower the artists, man, I try to empower people around me too and my team too. So they got great ideas. You know, Nick has a new website. She's getting ready to come out that's integrating a lot of great things into one website. So, you know, we got a lot of good things going on, man, with inside of us, man. So I really appreciate you guys having me on your show and just allowing me to continue to build, you know, grow my brand, man. And like I said, much, you know, hats off to you guys, man. And in any time that I can, you know, help you out, artists, y'all got some artists. Like I said, you got artists. Send me their music. Let's chop them up. Let's put it out to the world. See what the world think. You know, let's get fully indulged into it. I'm all the way with it, man. Guys, thanks again.
Man, thank you, man. And I will definitely be in touch with you, man. We'll have a part two to this interview for sure, man.
Definitely, man. Thank you, man.
Thanks a lot, Ron.
Y'all enjoy y'all evening.
You too. Thanks a lot. Yes, we can go ahead and close this thing on out, Mac. Tomorrow night, we've got DJ Ann Cree tomorrow. And then Thursday is Crooked Eye. I can't think of Friday off the top of my head right now, but just go to the website, www.ugsforlife.com. Saturday night, Underground Saturday night with Mac J and Velvet Rose. And then on Sunday, Church of Reality with myself, Prez, and Elaine. Everything's at 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 Central. So thanks, everybody, for listening. And check out the website, www.ugsforlife.com. We out of here.